know what time it was. It was like the afternoon. I kind of just texted her. I was like, hey, so I had the baby. Everything is great. I said, can you just come like assess her, you know? And yeah, she came over and was like, I knew you were going to do that. And she was really nice about it. She had no, you know, I could tell that she did not care at all and was happy for me. So it was really good to share that with her.
Welcome to the Happy Home Birth Podcast, your source for positive natural childbirth stories and your community of support, education, and encouragement in all things home birth and motherhood. When your job consists of helping mothers give birth at the hospital, then you're definitely going to give birth at the hospital when it's your turn, right? Hey there, happy home birthers, and welcome to episode 151 of the Happy Home Birth Podcast. I'm your host, Caitlin Fusco, and this week we are speaking with Georgia, a labor and delivery nurse and free birth mama. Oh, my friends, you are going to love this story. Now, before we jump in, I want to thank all of you as listeners of this podcast and as supporters of the Happy Home Birth mission. I'm so excited to be able to offer you a Thanksgiving thankfulness coupon code because I truly am just so grateful. So if you have been considering purchasing Happy Home Birth Academy, I would love to give you a 10% off discount code for this week only. So when this releases Monday through Friday, I would love to give you access to Happy Home Birth Academy. Use the code THANKFUL21 to take 10% off. And remember, Happy Home Birth Academy is the premier childbirth education program for home birth mothers. It is focused on preparing you in every single way, mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional, for an empowered home birthing experience. So head to myhappyhomebirth.com/happy-homebirth-academy and remember to use that code THANKFUL21 or just pop on over to the show notes and click the link right there. And I'd also love to thank this week's reviewer of the week, Her Wild Sunshine, who wrote, "Such a joyful and empowering podcast. I am not into podcasts, I never have been, but these are amazing. I learn so much and get to see such a wide variety of positive births. This podcast has a way of pulling me in and I am hooked." Thank you so much, Her Wild Sunshine. If you would email me at Caitlin@myhappyhomebirth.com, I'd love to send you a Happy Home Birth podcast sticker. And I'm so grateful to hear that you are finding so much help and joy in these episodes. I know that this week's episode is going to be another one that brings so much encouragement. So with that in mind, let's jump in. Please remember that the opinions of my guest may not necessarily reflect my own and vice versa, and this show is not meant to prescribe or treat. It's an educational tool, so continue to take empowered responsibility for your health and your family. Georgia, thank you so much for coming on the Happy Home Birth Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
I'm really excited to share your story with our listeners. And before we dive into it, would you mind just taking a moment to introduce yourself, your family to our listeners?
Of course. My name is Georgia. I have a husband and just one child. Her name is Maple. She just turned 11 months old this weekend and we live in North Carolina.
Very nice. And so you, something that's interesting about your story is your profession. So you are a labor and delivery nurse. I'd love to hear a little bit about that, how long you've been working and what that's been like for you, and especially in relation to your birthing plans.
Yeah. So I've only been doing it for 2 years. I had a biology degree first and, you know, didn't really know what I wanted to do. So I just worked random jobs for a few years and then went back to nursing school when I think I was like 25. And I went to nursing school with the intention of working labor and delivery. So that was my plan the whole time. And I was kind of like, you know, on the health journey from since I was in college of just women's health and how kind of ignored some, just I had some weird menstrual symptoms going on and just the recommendation was, you know, well, you should probably be on birth control, that whole scenario. that lots of women know about. And so that kind of started my journey into women's health. And I've always been interested in birth and like reproduction in general. It's been like a lifelong interest of mine, but not so much in like a medical mindset. But so when I was in nursing school, thankfully my maternity class was taught by two midwives, which I think is pretty unique. And they started every lecture just saying how, you know, the midwifery model of care really believes that birth is a normal process. And so they kind of tried to instill the fact that birth is not a disease. It's not a sickness. It doesn't need to be a medical event. Like, of course, medical situations do come up, but in and of itself, pregnancy is not a sickness, as I said. So I feel like I got pretty lucky with that in school. And then when I graduated, I was lucky enough to get a job right out of school in L&D, which when I was in school, I felt like that was like a long shot. But I think just since I was like so passionate about it and so intentional, that that was pretty much the only job I was going to do. I just got lucky and got one. So it's been good. It's definitely, I do love my job so much. I love getting to see birth all the time. But I think coming from the mindset I have that birth is normal, and I really think that low risk pregnancies are safer at home or at a birth center. So seeing normal births kind of go wrong, and not wrong, like not emergencies, but just like little things that to me are not normal or ideal, has been hard for sure as part of my job. But I still love it, and I feel like a lot of like topics in obstetrics today is about like informed consent. And so I love being able to provide my patients with like really true informed consent. I try my best to make sure they know that they have autonomy over their body and they can always refuse interventions and they don't ever have to say yes to anything. And if they're getting their cervix checked and they want the provider to stop, they can say stop and they should stop. So that aspect of it is really rewarding, but yeah, I do love it. It's great. But it can be hard sometimes for sure.
Right. Oh yeah. It's such a balance because here you are in the system knowing what you know and doing your best to advocate for your patients or clients and making sure that they are getting the care that they want. What a balance.
It's challenging. And I think another thing that makes it challenging is definitely not everyone coming to have a baby, as you know, probably is educated about birth in general or even educated about like the female body. So it's just challenging sometimes when your patients don't necessarily know anything about birth. And so I try my best to make it a empowering experience. But I do feel like it is much harder if you come into, let's say, like an induction and your provider hasn't really talked to you in depth about what that's actually going to look like. And then like just not having any knowledge about the birth process in general makes it challenging, but it is what it is.
and with your job and with the system, the way that it is, it's not like you have like these months and months to prepare these patients. No, they're here. they're here exactly. Right now. And so you've got to work with what you've got. Yeah, that's very interesting. So, okay, so you've been an L&D nurse and then you become pregnant yourself. What was that like?
Yeah, so we consciously conceived and it was definitely a planned pregnancy. And when I was in nursing school, I learned about unassisted birth or free birth, as you want to call it, and like really dove super deep into learning all about that. I listened to, you know, the Free Birth Society podcast all the time. And then, so it was definitely my plan before I even conceived to do a free birth. And when I got pregnant, I still was in it, but then, you know, those first trimester fears totally creep in. And it was my first pregnancy. And I think my mom miscarried her first pregnancy at 12 weeks. So I just had a lot of fear around that. And so around maybe 16 weeks or so, I ended up looking for a certified professional midwife. And in North Carolina, you know, those are not licensed midwives. There's only a couple. They're kind of hard to find, but I was lucky enough to find one who we really like vibed, and she felt the same way about birth that I did. And I just really trusted her. She'd been doing it for, I think, like 30 or 40 years. So I trusted her a lot to let me kind of lead the show. And that's really what I wanted. I didn't want any testing or any unnecessary interventions or anything. And she just basically was like, yeah, whatever you want to do, which was awesome. So I saw her for the first time around, I think, 19 weeks. And obviously in those types of prenatals, it's just like blood pressure, measuring your fundus and testing your urine. So it was really low key, which I liked. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then pretty much my whole pregnancy, you know, I was working in the hospital and tons of fears come up. I think it's a unique experience to be pregnant, planning an unassisted home birth, and be witnessing a lot of trauma. Like, to me, it was trauma. And a lot of it is, you know, like intrauterine fetal demises and shoulder dystocias and hemorrhages. Like, those are things that we see almost every shift on L&D, and it is scary. And definitely that was like a lot of my journey through pregnancy, was like just confronting those fears and just realizing that most of the time those things are not predictable, they are not preventable, and that, you know, my opinion is a lot of the routine prenatal tests are not accurate, are not actually improving outcomes or stuff like that. So I kind of just would listen to podcasts. Your podcast was definitely on my list, and just sit in the fear, but try to acknowledge that most of the time everything goes fine. Mm-hmm. And I just tried to trust Mother Nature and my body and my baby. And it was a good pregnancy overall. I was really, really sick in the beginning, which was terrible, but after like 28 weeks, I felt pretty good. And
oh, good. Those last 12, they were fine.
I know. Yeah. I like threw up at midnight on my 28 week day. And I was like, oh my God, can we not? I'm over this.
Man.
But yeah. And I don't know what else to say about it other than like, I didn't do any ultrasounds. I didn't do any testing. My blood pressure was always high whenever I saw my midwife, just because I was nervous. Like, it wasn't actually high. I would have my husband take it at home. It was always normal. But I just think that if I had been seen by a doctor or even like a certified nurse midwife, I know for sure they would have diagnosed me with at least gestational hypertension or something of the sort, just because every time my midwife took it, it was totally like 140s over 90s, which is high. Mm-hmm. So I'm just really glad that I chose the route that I did and had a pretty uneventful pregnancy, because I definitely think if I had been in the system, it would have been really stressful.
Yeah. Well, and what was that like when you've made the decision, you made the decision before you even became pregnant that this was what you were going to do. So what was it like when you got pregnant? And I'm sure your coworkers were so excited that you're pregnant.
Yeah. Yes. That was definitely interesting. I think luckily I was pretty vocal about my opinions on birth, my opinions on the obstetrical care in the U.S., like pre-pregnancy. So they kind of knew where I fell already, but a lot of nurses would be like, oh, well, who's your provider? And I just would be like, because I didn't want to say my midwife's name because they're not licensed, all that nonsense. So I just was like, I have a midwife. And I did not tell anyone that I was, other than like a select few good close friends, that I was planning an unassisted birth. So they thought I was just having a home birth with a midwife.
Gotcha.
So that I think helped. I definitely was really protective of my like mental state, because, you know, pregnancy is such a open, like raw emotional transformation that I didn't want anyone projecting fears, which they did anyway, but I wanted to try to keep it as close as possible. But also I was like super excited and wanted people to know. So it was like a fine balance, but definitely lots of questions like, well, what are you going to do if you hemorrhage? What are you going to do if you tear? What are you going to do if there's a shoulder dystocia? What are you going to do with, you know, all those typical things? And what if you have gestational diabetes? What if you have a low-lying placenta, all that stuff, you know, because nurses know every single possible thing that can go wrong.
Right.
So I had a OB I worked with tell me that ACOG doesn't recommend home birth.
That's weird.
I'm surprised. What a surprise. So it was interesting. Definitely towards the end, I was even more vulnerable to those types of comments. But luckily, my family was really supportive. My husband was totally on board. So overall, it was not bad. And I felt really, really, really secure in my choices. So I think that really helped.
Oh, I think it had to have, because I mean, yeah, you were being pushed from a lot of sides in the sense of, like you said, you're witnessing these medicalized births day in and day out. And so you're seeing all of these events. You've got coworkers that are talking to you. You clearly were very firm and grounded in your decision. And yeah, it took a lot of fortitude, I'm sure.
It did. And that was totally, that word fortitude was like my motto during even labor, just like, you have to be strong. And if you really want this, like, you can do it. And I firmly believe that any person, but especially any woman, like, can really have the birth they want, no matter what that looks like. You just have to educate yourself and, like, really prepare. Like, I spent multiple years, like, reading and researching and listening to stories about birth. So that's why I felt so confident, I think. But also, I was able to recognize that a lot of these quote emergencies we see in the hospital are really just like variations of normal, or are kind of caused by maybe too much intervention. Right. And like I said, I don't think that we should never birth in the hospital. There are absolutely are scenarios that require medical intervention, but overall, I just think, of course, we're over medicalizing birth in the U.S. especially.
Yeah. And like, yeah, just like you're saying, thank goodness for the hospital, obviously, that it's it is very necessary in some situations. And so, so glad that it exists. But you had decided that you weren't going to need that, or you weren't going to do that unless you needed that. And that's a, obviously, I think that's a very nice choice.
Thank you.
So, okay. So you had, now you had mentioned that you're working with this CPM, but there's also this idea of going unassisted. So what was that?
So I never told her that that was my plan. I knew that she would be okay with it, but I also just had a lot of fear that she was gonna, I don't know, dismiss me from her care or try to talk me out of it or stuff like that. And like I said, I just didn't want any fear projected onto me. So I didn't tell her. Her assistant who was like working with us, I kind of hinted to her once that like maybe I was thinking about it. And so that was, you know, I was nervous at the end, definitely, that I don't know, she was going to be mad at me. Although it doesn't matter if she would have been mad at me, it literally doesn't matter because it's my life. But yeah, I just didn't tell her. And then I, like, after I had my baby, I called her like a couple hours after and was like, hey, I did a thing, you want to come assess? And she basically said, I knew you were going to do that. So she knew.
Oh, that's, that's really neat. Okay. Okay. Yeah. So, so now we'll back it up, and I'd love to hear what the end of your pregnancy and, you know, those beginnings of labor, what that was like for you.
Yeah. So I, my whole pregnancy, knew for sure I was going to go past my due date, because I think that was just a form of me like protecting that end of pregnancy. You know, everyone's nervous, like, when's the baby going to come? So I prepared to go late just mentally. And my due date was actually like 1 week exactly before my birthday. So I kind of was like, oh, it'd be so fun to have my baby on my birthday. So I had planned to go 41 weeks just in my head. And I felt pretty good. I had definitely low back pain. I had that symphysis pubis disorder thing, so my pubic bone was really uncomfortable. I forgot to say, I had been going to the chiropractor like once a week from about 23 or 4 weeks of my pregnancy. So I think that really helped with just like my labor, especially, but feeling relatively good at the end of pregnancy. Another thing is that when my midwife would measure my fundal height, which I think is pretty subjective, and I think it depends on like what position your baby's in. Like, I don't think it's a super accurate measurement all the time, but at my 39 week appointment, I think I was only measuring like 34 weeks. So that's another thing I think would have been pathologized.
Yeah.
If I had been, you know, seen in the system. So just all those things that came up, I was just really grateful that I was not in the system, because like I said, I know for sure they would have tried to induce me and I did not want any part of that.
It's so, a no for me.
Yeah. No, thank you. But yeah, overall, the end of my pregnancy was really uneventful. I think because I was in such denial of like ever having a baby. I think it's just like a weird thing when it's your first baby. You don't know what it's going to feel like. You don't know anything. And I was just in straight up denial that I was ever going to have a baby because I just didn't want to be like looking at every little symptom as the start of labor. Because I think when you get in that headspace of, ooh, is that a contraction? Ooh, is that my mucus plug? Like when you're kind of trying to nitpick every little symptom at the end, it can really put you in a headspace of anxiety or just like anticipation, which I think can be really exhausting. Mm-hmm. And I think I see that pretty frequently where people just like really think it's labor when it's just like maybe prodromal labor or super early labor. And I just as it was of the opinion that I would know for sure when it's real labor. And until I feel that, I'm just going to pretend life is the same.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah, so I didn't have any symptoms at all, really. I think maybe one day I lost like a piece of my mucus plug, but like I said, I wasn't like looking for anything. So I don't even know when that was, but I do remember when I was like 39 weeks for like 1 hour, I had like a couple contractions, I guess, but I didn't think anything of it because, again, I was just totally living life, pretending like nothing was happening. So,
well, and you weren't having your baby until 41 weeks, so it didn't really matter.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. So I remember sitting at dinner with my husband and being like, huh, if these are contractions, like that's really going to hurt. And it was like so benign, you know, like so mild, but it just hurt like just way down like in where my cervix is. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, that really hurts. So this is going to be fun. But yeah, I had no symptoms other than that. And then when I was 41 weeks in one day at 4 a.m. is when things started.
Wow. So, okay. So that was that a day after your birthday or?
It was, yeah. It was the day after my birthday. My husband and I had like gone out for dinner. I was kind of just like, again, like I wasn't in the slightest thinking like, when is this baby going to come? I'm so over this. Like I had none of those feelings of ready to meet them. Like it wasn't even that. I just was kind of like, well, maybe I'll be pregnant forever and that's okay. But yeah, we had gone out to dinner and came home just like chilled. And then we were up till just like 1 a.m. like watching a movie or something, which I never do. I literally go to bed at like 10 o'clock every night. And then I woke up at 4 a.m. with like a super strong contraction. And I was like, wait, what's going on?
That's good. Don't you love it?
Yeah.
You love that kind of timing that's just like, oh, wow. Yeah, it would happen in this situation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think I had like maybe like a week before too, just like a really big, like, not breakdown, but I'll call it an emotional release, which I think is actually pretty normal for women to experience, like, soon to giving birth, just kind of, like, all the emotions of, you know, not our life is over, but this life as we know is over, and it's never going to be just us again. All those emotions definitely came to a head, so probably, like, a week before.
Mine was a Monday, and then I had my daughter on a Saturday.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's really super normal. I wish more women like knew about that.
Oh, wow. So you had, so you had your emotional release. You, then a week later, you have these contractions begin at 4 a.m. How did it go?
Yeah. So my whole pregnancy also was like, I'm not going to time anything. Like, I'm not even going to think about timing contractions, but I woke up at 4 a.m. with a pretty, like, really, really, really strong, I guess, period cramp, I'll call it, but it didn't even feel like that. And I just was like, whoa, that really hurt. And then I just laid there. 5 minutes later, another one. And then like 5 minutes later, another one. So I was like, these really hurt. Like I had to get up into hands and knees, like literally immediately. So I was like, oh God, if this is going to be it for 12 plus hours. I also had mentally prepared for like a 3-day labor because that can be normal for a first time mom. I was pretty much preparing for worst case scenario, longest, most grueling labor. And I started timing them because they just were so painful right away. And I think like for the first 30 minutes, they were pretty regular, like 5 minutes apart. And then after an hour, they were already 3 minutes apart together and regular. And I couldn't lay in the bed anymore after like 1 hour. So I think at 5 a.m., I kind of inadvertently woke up my husband because I just like couldn't lay there. And he is the heaviest sleeper. He kind of was like, wait, what's going on? And I was like, I think it's happening. So got out of bed, just started like pacing my house, totally still in like denial. It's weird how you can be in clear labor, but really just feel like it's not going to happen. I don't know. That's how I felt at least.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so my midwife had told me if it's not real labor, if you get in the bath, like that should kind of dissipate things and calm it down. So I got in my bathtub, had my husband just like pour water on my belly, and it like did not help at all. And my bathtub isn't huge, so I couldn't like move. So I was only in there for like 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just like walked around my house a bit, and it was fall. I gave birth in October. So I really wanted to labor by the fireplace. That was like part of my vision. So my husband had built me a fire and we had like a mattress down in front of the fireplace. And I literally labored in front of it for like all of 5 minutes because I was like sweating because they were really strong already. And I spent all of that early labor just like in hands and knees, just bracing myself. They were pretty much like 2 to 3 minutes apart from the, you know, that first hour the whole time. And yeah, it was just wild. Like it was really strong and regular, like right off the bat. And again, like I just thought, well, if this is early labor, oh my God, like I cannot do this for another day. Like that's literally what I was thinking. And I threw up around like 7:30 in the morning, or maybe it was 7:00. And I called my mom. She lives 2 hours away. So I was like, I think you need to come. Mm-hmm. And I threw up, was just labored on my couch, but then the sun started to really come up. So it was too bright. I moved to like my bathroom and I called my birth photographer then. She lives like an hour away and has like a young son. So I just was like, I don't know. I think it's time, but I don't want you to like leave your family if you're going to be here for like another day. But you know how it is. You're just, even as a woman, like thinking about other people's needs.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, she got there. My birth photographer got there around 8:30 or so. My mom got there like 9:30. And I labored in the bathroom because it was dark. And I just literally gripped my sink with all my strength and would just like sway my hips from left to right for a couple hours. It was just like nothing felt better. It, all the pain was just right in my cervix. I had no back pain, like no belly pain, like none of my belly hurt. It was all just like straight low, you know, my low abdomen. And I think I remember going to the bathroom probably around 9:00 and had some bloody show. And that was the first time that I was like, okay, maybe I'm really like in labor. just like seeing the bloody show, I was like, okay, I'm not imagining this. It's real. And I totally had thoughts of epidural pain medicine. I know a lot of women don't say that, but I just was like, I'm only, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours in at this point. Like I cannot do this for another full day. It was just so intense. And I was totally contemplating calling my midwife, and I would just look to my husband and be like, should we call her? Should we call her? And he was like, no, you got it. Cause he really knew, like, I really, really wanted to do it by myself. So that was awesome. Cause I think it is scary to see your partner in that much pain. And just, I think it was just moving so quickly that we both were just like, what is happening? You know, should we call her? Mm-hmm. But thankfully we didn't. And then my mom, oh, little caveat, I had a birth pool I was planning to, I wasn't like set on a water birth, but you know, you got to have a birth pool if you're having a home birth. So
obviously
we had, obviously, maybe like a couple of nights before I went into labor, went to Lowe's to get a hose. And I live in a home that was built in 1954 and like it has original sinks. And did I test the hose to make sure it was going to work? No, because again, I was in denial that I was ever going to give birth. Mm-hmm. And so obviously the hose didn't work. So my husband spent almost the majority of like my labor just filling up the pool with pots of water.
Oh man. Oh,
yeah. <gosh. laughs> And which I think is like honestly fine, because he couldn't have done anything to help me anyway. Like I didn't want to be touched necessarily. I just was in it on my own. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of good. It worked out, I guess. Maybe that's just what we needed. So he spent most of the time filling it up. And then I got in around 9 and the water was like barely to my hips, I feel like. Mm. And I just was like, ah, this is not going to cut it. Like I need more water in here. And it just didn't help. To be honest, I hear so many stories of, you know, women getting in the pool and they just feel like immediate relaxation or that it really helped. But for me, it totally did not. But I think I just was like, I think my labor was just really fast. Mm-hmm. So it just didn't really help. But once I got in, I was there to stay. And my mom, she got there around 9:30. And so I called her at 7. She got there at 9:30. And I think she was totally shocked at how intense the room was and just how much pain I was in. Because I just remember, like, I was having my eyes closed the whole time. She grabbed my hand and was, like, shaking and crying because she just was, I think, really shocked at how far along I was. We just she didn't expect it. She thought like, oh, we'll have a baby by dinner time, maybe, you know? So yeah, that was 9:30. And then around 10 at the end of a contraction, like my body started pushing. And this whole time I was thinking to myself, like, there's no way this is active labor. Like I am a first time mom, you know, my nurse brain totally never shut off. I just was like thinking about, should I check my own cervix? Like, no, because then what if I'm only 2 centimeters? I'm going to be discouraged. Like I had all these thoughts. And then after, when it was 10 a.m., I had only been in labor for 6 hours and my body starts like pushing. And I was like, oh my God, no way. Like I'm going to get a swollen cervix, all these crazy things I'm thinking, you know?
Yep. I'm probably 4 centimeters.
Exactly. I was like, what if I'm literally 4 centimeters? Like I cannot do this. I'm going to die. Just it was intense. And I was scared. Like, I think the predominant emotion at that point, I definitely think I was obviously in transition, but I was scared and just worried that I was pushing too early. That was pretty much it.
Mm-hmm.
So I told my husband to call one of my friends who had had 2 natural births and has lots of like birth education. And she knew I was having a home birth, but I don't think knew. I had mentioned free birth to her early on, but didn't really know I was actually going to do it. Mm-hmm. So when I called her and just was like, I think I'm pushing. And she just calmly was like, well, maybe you should have the midwife check you. And I was like, there's no midwife. And just like hung up, you know, I just was like panicking. I was like, there's no midwife. And I hung up. And then again, like I'm, you know, now I'm like pushing kind of more and more, and it's total fetal ejection reflex. Like I'm not actively pushing. It's just this baby is like flying out of me. Mm-hmm. And I was terrified. Honestly, I kept saying like, I'm scared, I'm scared. And my family was doing a great job at just like being calm. But internally, I was honestly freaking out, mm-hmm. which I wish I wasn't. But I think that's just, I don't know. I think it's pretty normal for you to, you know, like it's normal. It's transition. And especially as a first-time mom, you just have no idea what it's going to be like. And well, it was crazy.
And like Dr. Rachel Reed talks about the fact that that is a physiological protection and actually helps, yes. You know, that fear is something that helps mm-hmm. with the fetal ejection reflex. And it's really a safety mechanism.
Exactly. Yes. I always try to like educate my coworkers about that. It's like, this is really normal. Or when my patients start freaking out mm-hmm. if they're having an actual birth, I'm like, this is really normal. Like, it's going to be okay. So I can give all the advice. But then when I experience it, I'm like, literally, what is happening? It was wild.
Yeah.
So when I hung up with that one friend that was like, have the midwife check you, I called one of my other good friends who is a nurse that I work with. And she knew this was my plan. And she had kind of like she's like, if you need me, you can call me. But so I called her. I think she had just gotten off a night shift. So it was like 10:30 in the morning when I called her or something. She comes right over. She lives close. She was there within like 10 minutes probably. And just really calmly, I was like, I'm pushing, like, what do I do? She's like, well, have you checked yourself? And I was like, no, I'm too scared. What if I'm only 5 centimeters? And she just like encouraged me to like, you know, reach inside and feel for whatever. And I calmly reached in and I felt like a bulging bag of water, like right there. And her head was like right behind it. And so after that, I was like, oh my God, okay. You know, that was like really helped me just relax and sink in to the process because I knew my body was doing what it needed to do. And like my whole pregnancy, I totally trusted my body, but just in that transition, I had no trust, I guess. But then after I just felt that, I mean, it was like right there, I really relaxed. And then with every wave, I just like held on to my husband's hands. Like I felt the energy from the contraction that was going to truly like take me off this planet. So I just would like hold on to him to ground myself. And I didn't try to fight the pushing anymore. And it just was so intense. But once I had relaxed, it was probably the best part of my labor, just feeling like so in tune with my body. It's really amazing how you can like totally know that your baby and body is going to be okay. Like I never once even thought about like listening to her heart rate when I was in labor. It did not even cross my mind, but I just knew intuitively that she was going to be okay. And when I started pushing, like not, I wasn't actively pushing, but like once I let go of the fear and just like let my body take over, she kind of was like, I feel like her head was like totally in the birth canal, but then between waves, I felt her like come out of my birth canal, rotate, and then like come back down. Like it was so wild to just feel her like move inside, and it didn't hurt. And I remember saying something like, I trust you, baby. Like I just knew she knew what she needed to do to like come out, you know. It was so amazing.
That is incredible.
Yeah, it was so wild. And then I had my husband like reach in to feel her head once it was like even closer to coming out. And my water had never broken, which was super cool. And she was born, like maybe a couple more contractions, her head came out. And I just remember like feeling her head through the bag of water. And there was like some fluid, you know, like the bag was still intact when her head came out.
Wow.
And I felt like her ear, and I just was like, I feel an ear. It was really, really amazing.
That is amazing.
And, yeah. This is like part of my story that I love as a nurse, because like, I'm a firm believer that the head can come out and then you can wait for the next contraction. But like in a hospital, that is, you know, considered a shoulder to sew shut, even if it's really not, they, you know, they want the head out and the body out immediately.
That is very upsetting to hear. I mean, like I just hadn't really thought about it, but that stinks.
Yeah. Right. So her head was out for a good 2 minutes at least before like my next contraction. And then that part of the birth was so amazing, because I was so in tune with like what I needed to do to move my body or how I needed to like manipulate her to get her out. Like I think I pushed a little bit with that last wave, but kind of like I pulled on her a little bit to get her out, and she definitely was not stuck. But it just like, that's what I intuitively did, was just put my hand like behind her, like the back of her neck, and kind of just pushed a little bit and pulled a little bit, and she came right out. Like still, her arm like busted through the bag of water as her body was coming out. So I have some like really good pictures of that. It was awesome. And I just like pulled her right up onto my chest, and she was moving. She cried right away. And it was just like definitely the best moment of my life, because I don't know, you know, it is for everyone, I guess, but it was so nuts. And I was so happy that she was crying right away, because I think that is every birthing person's like biggest fear, but especially if you're having an unassisted home birth, I think it's like that and postpartum hemorrhage.
Right. Those are the things.
The two biggies. So when she cried right away, it was so awesome. And my husband was like sobbing. My mom was so excited. It was just such a beautiful, beautiful moment. And I didn't know the sex of my baby beforehand. And I just like I'm not gonna lie, I did really want a girl just because my my mom and I are so close. I just wanted that relationship. So I just held her for a few minutes before I looked. And then when I found out it was a girl, I just was like over the moon. It was so awesome. It was great.
Oh gosh, that is incredible. And I just think it's so neat hearing, especially like with the unassisted birth. And, you know, you did discuss that transition, that kind of fear that was there. That really does mm-hmm. show just how physiological, like those hormones were just, yeah. you know, they were on point. They were exactly what they were mm-hmm. supposed to be when they were supposed to be it. And I just can only imagine that that led to a very major, like, baby birth mm-hmm. high postpartum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it did. I, like, really expected to be totally overcome with, like, emotion and oxytocin and just like sob. Mm-hmm. But I really think that because my labor was so quick mm-hmm. and I wasn't like, you know, I think if your labor is like 12 hours or a day, you're just kind of like anticipating the birth for so long. But I think since mine was only, it was 7 hours total. She was born at like 10:55. So it was really only 7 hours. I think I just didn't have that like anticipation release, you know, where once the baby's out, you're like, oh, thank God that's over.
Right.
So it was kind of weird. I didn't cry at all. I just was like so excited and I was so happy. And mostly I was so proud of myself that I succeeded in my goal mm-hmm. of a free birth. So that was my, and I just was so happy that she was healthy. Cause like I said, I didn't have any ultrasounds or anything. So, which was a very conscious choice, but like right before she came out, I remember being like, I'm scared. Mm-hmm. And my photographer was like, what are you scared of? I was like, I just hope she's going to be okay. Because again, I just didn't know. And I trusted my body. I'm young, you know, I didn't think there was going to be anything major wrong, but you just never know.
Right.
So when she came out fully formed and perfect, it was just such a relief. Mm. It was so good.
Oh man, that's amazing. And so then after that, you said a couple of hours later, so you obviously, you birthed your placenta, got mm-hmm. all situated, that all went well?
Yeah. I just stayed in the tub until I started to get, you know, cold and shaky as you do after birth. So I got out of the pool with the placenta still in and I just laid in my bed. And then I started having like really bad after pains. Like, you know, they say with your first baby, it's not that bad. But I was like having really bad cramps. So after maybe, I don't know, maybe it had been 45 minutes or an hour, I didn't consciously like time anything with the placenta, but I just kind of stood up. I was like, I got to get this thing out. And I literally just squatted over a bolt and it fell right out. Mm. It was really easy, which I'm grateful for.
Yeah.
And it was, I didn't have, you know, I didn't do any bundle massages or, you know, any meds or tinctures. I just totally wanted to leave the hormonal process intact and not mess with that. So, I kind of just like inspected my placenta and all the lobes were there. They definitely had some calcifications, you know, as they say, it's like, oh, this is a crappy placenta, as they would say in the hospital. I'm like, my placenta is perfect. Thank you.
It is just fine.
Yeah. But it was like huge. It was like a really big placenta. Like I've seen a lot of placentas, but it was mm-hmm. pretty big. But yeah, it was really easy. And then I tried to go pee because that's important for bleeding. I couldn't pee right away. So I just got back in the bed and like kind of in my little birth plan was like, I want some orange juice and like toast with peanut butter, you know, kind of nourish my body after what I had gone through. And I just had the placenta in a bowl beside us in the bed. And then my husband cut it. I bought like a birth kit online, you know, that had a cord clamp in it. So he cut the cord and we just like snuggled on the bed. It was like, honestly, it was just so easy and low maintenance, just so chill, which I loved. And especially because I gave birth during COVID. So my, mm-hmm. you know, my mom would not have been able to be there in a hospital. I don't know what the birth center rules were at that time, but it was just nice to have my mom there. And yeah, it was awesome. It was just so easy and so peaceful, you know, to be in your house is so nice.
That's amazing. And so then your midwife, like you said, you called her and she was like, yeah, I knew.
Yeah. So I don't know what time it was. It was like the afternoon. I kind of just texted her. I was like, hey, so I had the baby. Everything is great. I said, can you just come like assess her? You know, I don't know, assess me. I had no like vaginal pain at all. Like I really was like, I'm pretty sure I did not tear, because I just felt, I know that you're pumped full of like adrenaline at that point, but I had zero pain. And I like listened to my baby and did like, you know, my little nurse assessment on her. And she was fine, but I just felt like, well, I paid you some money, so maybe just come like double check that everything is good. And yeah, she came over and was like, I knew you were going to do that. And she was really nice about it. She had no, you know, I could tell that she did not care at all and was happy for me. So it was really good to share that with her.
That's amazing.
It was great. It was just really easy and really beautiful.
Oh, wow. What an incredible story. It's just so, I don't know. It's just really neat to hear how you were able to just how you went through this. And I love hearing the realness of, yeah, there were times when I was scared. There were times when I was worried and, you know, and you still did it anyway. Like you gave birth anyway and it went beautifully. Mm-hmm. It really is very encouraging.
Yeah, I think that's one thing that just today so many people are missing is like, it's okay to be scared. It's okay to be unsure, but birth is like a normal process. And I think a lot of people think that if you're choosing home birth, you have no fear and are super confident. And like, I was super confident, but I had tons of fear like the whole time, because like I said, you just can't predict any sort of complication. And, you know, we see stillborn babies a lot at the hospital. And I can say almost every time it's totally random, like totally random. So I think just demonstrating that it's really okay to be scared and have fear, but that our bodies are wise and they know how to birth babies. We've been doing it since the beginning of time. And in my opinion, only when you are searching for things to go wrong and over medicalizing and constantly like nitpicking every little symptom is kind of when it can go wrong or just be a stressful experience. So I just didn't want any tests, because I didn't want that information for me personally. Like the less information I had, the better.
Yeah. Well, and it's kind of right. Yeah. It's like, okay, well, if it's going to go wrong, it's going to go wrong. Am I going to like also freak out and potentially make things go wrong? Yeah. What a balance.
Yeah, totally.
Wow. Well, Georgia, like I said, I cannot thank you enough for coming on and sharing this. This is such a fantastic story. I know everyone's going to love it. It was just such an honor. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on the Happy Home Birth podcast.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I love your podcast. It's just important work that you're doing.
Wasn't that amazing? As we head into this week's episode roundup, I want to touch on a few aspects of this story that really stood out to me. Number one, I first just have to comment on Georgia's resolve. As a pregnant mother working in labor and delivery, she certainly experienced plenty of traumatic events, perhaps events that may make others choose not to give birth at home. And yet, she had the deep understanding that the outcomes occurring at the hospital were not necessarily the same outcomes that would occur if those labors were not happening inside of the hospital. Again, thank goodness for medical care during emergent situations, but Georgia was able to separate these events from her own pregnancy experience. Next, I love that she had zero expectations for when and how labor was going to begin, except for maybe the expectation that it would never happen. The way Georgia discussed nitpicking symptoms was such a great point, and I know that it can be so easy to fall into this trap of, oh, is it this time? Maybe it's time. Is that labor? Was that my mucus plug? Which can truly throw us into an anxious state. And finally, Georgia was scared. She admits it. And that's okay. We're designed to give birth, and part of that design is a beautiful interplay of hormones. Sometimes those hormones might make you feel fearful, and that can be protective. I think that much of the time we end up getting a fear of our fear, which is far less helpful. But experiencing the emotions and allowing them to be there is all part of this big work that we're doing. Like Dr. Rachel Reed has said, and I've quoted before, feel the fear and give birth anyway. Okay, my friends, that's all I've got for you for today. I want to just thank you one more time for being just the greatest community I could ever imagine.
I want to remind you that you can use the code THANKFUL21 for this week only through Friday for 10% off of Happy Home Birth Academy. And I look so forward to all of the new students that are going to join. That's all I've got for you this week. I'll see you back here next week. Thanks for listening to this week's episode. Are you looking to extend the home birth support, encouragement, and education? Join us in our Facebook group, Happy Home Birth Podcast Community, and check us out on Instagram at Happy Home Birth Podcast.